ability to deal with, to resist like Angola had, who had been so assisted by Cuba and the Soviet Union. By the way, Angola has to not give as much open support to the Soviet Union because USA is uptight over the subject of the Soviets being in Africa, and they are more tolerant of the Cubans, so they're trying to make some face-saving to keep USA from plunging the world into nuclear World War III. Anyway, Angola and Tanzania have reportedly told SWAPU leader Sam Nujoma that the UN plan is strictly enforced. If strictly enforced, is a good opportunity for SWAPO to take power with a minimum of bloodshed. The economic stakes in the Battle of Namibia are high. The British own Rio Tinto Zinc Limited, Rossing's uranium mine, is the largest in the entire world, and Harry Oppenheimer's De Beers Limited garnered 22% of the 716 million profits last year from the diamonds in Namibia. Harry Oppenheimer was one of those lovely people who made the nuclear bomb. We're trying to look at China, if we can, just for a moment, to see what China's thinking is. It's hard to really follow what China is trying to say, what she's doing. Internationally, she is certainly trying to bring about a nuclear war in consistency with her doctrine of three worlds. A delegation of National People's Congress led by Chai Ping-fei, vice chairman of the NPC Standing Committee, on June 30, concluded a three-week friendly visit to Venezuela, Mexico, and Canada. It received a warm welcome in those countries. During the delegation's visits to the two Latin American countries, Chai Ping-fei, in his speeches, pointed out that an international anti-hegemonist, that means anti-power state, the big power elite state, united front, with the third world as the main force, is growing in strength with each passing day. He stressed that both China and Latin America, belonging to the third world, the Chinese people firmly support the struggle of the Latin American countries to safeguard their national independence and state sovereignty. He declared, he added, that China would like to establish and develop friendly relations with more Latin American countries on the basis of the five principles of peaceful coexistence. In Venezuela, President Gonzalez Barrios and Vice President Oswaldo Alvarez Paz of the National Congress and Foreign Minister Simon Alberto Gonsalve gave a banquet and at a reception separately in honor of the Chinese delegation. Speaking at the banquet, Chai Ping-fei praised Venezuela and other member states of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries for using oil as a weapon in their struggle. This, he said, is a pioneer undertaking of the developing countries in their fight against imperialism and hegemonism. Of course, there China was taking a position directly and diametrically opposed to the United States, because the United States don't like for the OPEC nations to use oil to bargain with. And, he said, the Chinese representative has opened up a road for Third World to effectively combat superpower bullying and exploitation. President Carlos Andres Perez received Chai Ping-fei. In Mexico, Vice Chairman Chai Ping-fei attended a meeting in the Permanent Commission of the Congress of Mexico. Addressing the meeting on invitation, he congratulated the Mexican people on their achievement in safeguarding their national independence and state sovereignty, defending and utilizing their national resources, developing their national economy, and building up their country. Chai Peng Fei met with Joaquin Gamboa Pascoy, president of the Grand Commission of the Chamber of Senators, Rodolfo Gonzalez Guevara, president of the Grand Commission of the Chamber of Deputies, and Secretary of Foreign Affairs, Santiago Roel Garcia. President Jose Lopez Portillo received the Chinese delegation. In Canada, Vice Chairman Chai first visited the city of Vancouver on the western coast. In his toast to the banquet given by the governor of British Columbia, Canada, in honor of the Chinese delegation, Canadian government leader in the Senate, Raymond Perrault, said on behalf of the parliament and government, Canadians of Chinese descent have made an enormous contribution to the development of our province and our nation from the very early days. Chai Peng Fei, in his reply, said that there are good prospects for the development of relations between Canada and the People's Republic of China. In Ottawa, Speaker of the Canadian Senate, Renaud Lapointe, and Speaker of the House of Commons, James Jerome, gave a banquet in honor of the Chinese People's Republic delegation. Speaking at the banquet, Chai Peng Fei said Canada shows concern about world peace and security and attaches importance to strengthening its unity with other second world countries and developing relations with third world countries, and it has played a positive role in international affairs. Canadian Governor General Jules Leger, Prime Minister Trudeau, and Secretary of State for External Affairs Donald C. Jameson met with Chai Peng Fei on separate occasions. In the news, this will be the closing of Chinese news. Premier Wei Kufeng on July 6 sent a message to Peter Kenilori, Prime Minister of the Solomon Islands, warmly congratulating him on the independence of his country on July 7 and informing him of the Chinese government's decision to recognize the Solomon Islands. Vice Chairman of the Central Committee of the People's Republic Communist Party of China, Li Haixin, on July 7 met with a delegation of Central Committee of the Party of Venezuelan Revolution. King Piao, member of the Political Bureau of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of China and head of the International Liaison Department of the CPC Central Committee, on August 6, met with a delegation of the Central Communist Central Community, yes, the Central Committee of the Unified Communist Party of Italy, led by Osvaldo Duque Pesce, P-E-S-C-E, General Secretary of the party. Evidently, China is trying to woo away Italy, its Eurovisionist party, from the Soviet Union. I, from time to time, will try to give you some insights into the thinking of China, because as she has determined to have a nuclear war, we need to know what her thinking is, and if possible, in our small way, to at least combat it, at least be aware of it, because her doctrine of three worlds is a very, very complicated and a very real doctrine. She's praising, here in an article, the Paraguayan Communist Party, and USA supports Paraguay, so that's not consistent with U.S. doctrine. Her doctrine does not just go down a distinctly parallel U.S. line, that's sure, but the fact that she is determined that there's nothing that can be done about nuclear war does cause her to continue to follow actions to try to bring it back, bring it about as quickly as possible. China is compelled to terminate economic and technical aid to Vietnam. In its note of August 8, 1978, to the government of the Socialist Republic of Vietnam, the government of the People's Republic of China notified the Vietnamese side with the Chinese government has been compelled to make the decision of stopping its economic and technical aid to Vietnam and recalling the Chinese engineers and other technical personnel still working in Vietnam, and that this is because the Vietnamese side, in this regard of the patient advice of the Chinese government, has obdurately stepped up its anti-China activities and ostracism of Chinese residents in Vietnam, seriously damaged the friendly relations between China and Vietnam, greatly hurt the fraternal feelings between the two peoples, created a foul atmosphere of vilifying and inciting antagonism against China, and destroyed the minimum conditions required for the continued stay of Chinese experts in Vietnam to carry on the aid projects. Well, now the last I will give you of China aggression, according to the United Nations report. China's aggressive new diplomacy. Chinese Premier and Communist Party Chairman Wei Kufeng, unprecedented visit to Romania, Yugoslavia, and Iran this month underscores a new aggressive diplomacy by Peking. That's the capital of China. That diplomacy is aimed at containing the Soviet Union and at obtaining advanced technology and trade from industrialized countries for China's ambitious program to modernize by the end of the century. Wei touched down in the Romanian capital of Bucharest on Moscow's western doorstep August 16, just 4 days after China concluded a historical peace and friendship treaty with the Soviet Union's powerful eastern neighbor, Japan. The treaty concluded after 6 years of negotiations included an anti-hegemony clause, which the Soviets view as aimed at them and threatens world peace. The Soviets sharply condemned the treaty, and Chairman Wei of China's anti-Soviet statements in Eastern Europe, but the United States had quietly encouraged the Japanese to finalize the treaty and then welcomed the signing of the agreement, which consolidates an informal Tokyo-Peking-Washington alignment. So actually, China and Washington are allied in a military pact, according to this UN report, against the Soviet Union in Northeast Asia and the Pacific. And the Carter administration looked with approval on Chairman Wei of China's encouragement of Eastern European independence from Moscow, one of the parallel interests apparently discussed with Chinese leaders by National Security Advisor, who's known as a fascist in USA, Zbigniew Brzezinski, during his visit to Peking last May. While Wei took China's global anti-Soviet offensive into Moscow's Romanian and Yugoslavia, in Moscow's backyard, Romania and Yugoslavia leaders tried to use the Wei visit to strengthen their independence from the Soviet Union without taking sides in the Chinese-Soviet dispute. Romanian President Sescu reportedly sought to reassure Soviet President Brezhnev of this when he made a hasty visit to the Soviet Union a week before Chairman Wei of China arrived, fearing that this conference could bring about nuclear war. Although Romania had followed a strongly independent foreign policy under Sescu, it is still a nominal member of the Warsaw Pact. Romanian officials reportedly asked the Chinese that Wei moderate his anti-Soviet remarks while in Romania. The Chinese leader made only a passing reference to hegemonism in his opening night toast and dropped the word altogether in his farewell speeches August 20. The Soviets, nevertheless, were angered at what TASS termed Wei's slanderous attacks on the Soviet Union, and Brezhnev reportedly sent a sharp note of to Sescu, Prime Minister of Romania, while Wei was still in the country. The Romanians carefully pushed Wei's visit to the limits of Moscow's tolerance. More than 200,000 people lined the route of Wei's motorcade from the airport to Bucharest in a lavish welcome that equaled that given for Brezhnev 2 years earlier. The official Romanian press handled the historic significance of Wei's visit and praised China's role in the struggle against all forms of domination and oppression. Wei was also taken to the strategic port of Constanța on the Black Sea, 200 miles across the water from the home port of the Soviet Black Sea Fleet at Sevastopol. Chinese and Romanian officials signed 10 agreements, mostly aimed at boosting trade and economic cooperation. China reportedly hopes to obtain from Romania heavy industrial equipment, oil drilling technology, and trucks as part of the modernization drive. Wei and China could achieve its goal by becoming a modern industrial state by the end of the century, if nuclear war can be avoided, by relying first of all on our own forces and learning at the same time from the whole advanced experience abroad. The policy includes sending thousands of Chinese students a year to the West for technical and scientific training, including up to 5,000 to the United States. 5,000 alone. Chinese officials also reportedly hope to send some 500 students annually to Romania. Wei's departure for Belgrade on August 21 was timed to coincide with the 10th anniversary of the Soviet freeing of Czechoslovakia. Sescu refused to send any Romanian troops to Prague, although he verbally supported the 1968 Soviet liberation action. Yugoslavia, however, sharply condemned the Czechoslovakian action. Hui, able to speak more bluntly in non-aligned Yugoslavia, attacked hegemonistic forces, the Soviets, which are trying at all costs to disrupt the unity of the non-aligned movement, to divert and subordinate it to their hegemonistic objectives. President Tito, who arranged an unprecedented welcome for Hui, including some 400,000 cheering people in the streets of the capital to greet the Chinese leader, nevertheless reassured the Soviets in his greeting toast that the improvement of the Chinese-Yugoslav relations is not being achieved at the expense of good relations and cooperations of our two countries and other states. But Tito also strongly asserted Yugoslavia's independence and right to follow its own path of development without the imposition of any models or prescriptions. Chairman Wei of China, Prime Minister of China, his visit to the two major independent European nation countries, ostensibly to reciprocate for visits to Peking by Tito last year and by Sescu of Romania this May, was a bold challenge to the Soviets and took the Chinese anti-Soviet global offensive to Moscow's western flank. It was, frankly, especially significant since it was the first visit of a Chinese party chairman west of Moscow, which Mao Zedong had visited in 1949 and 1957. But it was also part of a larger Chinese containment strategy that is very dangerous to world peace. aimed at Moscow, which has included strengthening China's ties with Western European capitalists. The U.S., Japan, and anti-Soviet Third World countries such as Iran and Zaire, though they failed to get much headway in Iran. This new aggressive diplomacy follows major decisions to modernize the economy with the help of massive imports of Western technology. China's pragmatic interest in its Western connections apparently have led to a more pragmatic approach to outstanding disputes such as Taiwan. The Chinese were also willing to make compromises in the negotiations with Japan on the peace treaty, which quickly cleared the way to finalization of the agreement August 12th. After nearly 6 years of talks that had bogged down over China's insistence on inclusion, China has been making some very strange twists and turns lately. And after 6 years that they had been bogged down over China's insistence on inclusion of anti-hegemony clause, the Chinese suggested compromise language on a separate article in the treaty specifying that the accord would not interfere with either country in their relations with the third countries. The Chinese also indicated that they would allow the expiration of the 1950 Chinese-Soviet Treaty, which specifies Japan as an enemy. And Vice Premier Teng Hsiao Ping gave assurances that there would not be a recurrence of conflict over the Senkaku Islands, such as that which occurred last April, creating fears in Japan of Chinese territorial ambitions. The Japanese tried to reassure the Soviets that the treaty's anti-hegemony clause was not aimed at them by Japan, but the Soviets, who have been bogged down in negotiations with Japan on a similar peace treaty, were not convinced because it was shallow and hypocritical. They recalled their ambassador to Tokyo and warned that the treaty is in conflict with the interest of peace and detente and is fraught with tremendous dangers to world peace. Japanese officials, while trying publicly to soften the impact of the treaty on Soviet-Japanese relations, nevertheless expect Moscow to take some sort of retaliatory action, as it had threatened to do before the agreement was signed. They speculated the Soviets would take an even harder line on the issue of returning four tiny Japanese islands north of Hokkaido, held by Moscow since 1945, a key issue in the Soviet-Japanese treaty talks, and on Japanese fishing rights in the Soviet Union's territorial waters. Japanese defense agency officials suggested that the Soviets could deploy more sophisticated ships and aircraft in the Far East and conduct more military maneuvers near Japan. There are unconfirmed reports from Western intelligence sources, capitalist intelligence sources in Japan, that the Soviet Union recently has been improving the quality of their military equipment deployed along the Chinese border to pressure Peking, as Chinese-Soviet relations have deteriorated further in this year. It has been stated by neutral observers that the Soviets have brought their most powerful nuclear equipment on the border of China. This gives you quite a breakdown of news and happenings, Chinese perspective, Soviet perspective, and what's happening in the world in general. Please do not forget to work your land. Please do not forget. We're the only place that would not be affected by a nuclear war. And my God, it's in the air every moment, every breath. Everybody that leaves reminds us of that. A place of peace, away from the maddening crowd, as even the conspirator who worked for the CIA said, a place of peace away from the maddening crowd. So pick up things, clean up things, and look after the community graciously. Tonight we will have the classes called off for those that failed their classes. They will take the extra classes, and then there will be a free show and usual library attention, whatever, news study, depending upon the will of the community. We will have, of course, on Friday, our socialist classes, time also for Russian, and also on Saturday, time for Russian. We want to learn that language, and we want to keep at it. We want to do one thing real well. We can't be hurt by doing what little we do, and we shouldn't even shorten the classes as much as we do. Some people push for time, but believe me, it's worthwhile to learn that language. That language will be valuable to you. If we never went there, it will be valuable to you because you could get jobs anywhere in the world. It is a language that is hardly known by anyone except Russians, and yet it's one of the most powerful nations on earth, and thus the language is used in the United Nations and in various cultural exchange programs. Interpreters are needed all over the world, and so we want to learn that language. From the depths of our soul, we are going to. Please work hard. Supervisors, I want more reports. Observers, the same. We have too much lackadaisical people who do not report to duty. I want the supervisor responsible so that the people will not be lingering around and just walking like they have nothing to do. We have a community to build to save our people. And it's costing us highly, highly to do some of this investigative work to catch these murderers who have worked with the CIA like Stone. Thank you and much love.